what Christ has suffered for our sake, that to save our souls and make us be clean of all his glory to partake. But keeping this in mind, press on to glory and the victor's crown. 2, 2, 4.
You save our soul and make us clean. on with our chapter in 1 John 2.
And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that every one that doeth righteousness is born of him.
Right in with the previous. All that is in the world. That world passes away, the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. That is what's wrought in the fear of God, and according to his will, we take to heaven with us.
And long before the world passes away, many men that sell their souls for a little of this world pass away and leave it. Men are passing. The world is passing. But with a Christian, we know where we're going.
And we should live in the good of it now. The enjoyment of heavenly places. Heavenly things. Well, the man that gets the most of the world and all that lust could desire down here, he's soon going to leave it all. If he could live on forever, it would pass away.
We're not only not of this world. I believe it's Brother Ballant made the statement, I think I give it fairly correctly, that the saint of God belongs to in a system that was in existence before the world was ever built.
Passing away, that the way in, might say, is which it is arranged at any given time, it's constantly changing. Something like in 1 Corinthians, where we have there, they that use this world is not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. Is there a sense of that here? Of course, I believe it goes on to the final passing away of it in its entirety. Well, I just wondered if there is a sense of that. It's constantly changing. The
verb is in the present tense.
A very comforting word in Hebrews 1:11. They shall perish, but thou remainest.
That's the physical world, isn't it? They shall perish.
Yes, I was thinking of the latter part, thou remainest.
Now, always something that's secure. It's like in 2 Timothy where you get the last days, and failure and ruin on every hand. And yet in each chapter in 2 Timothy, you have something that's stable and unmovable. Something to bank on, something to count on in each chapter.
There's a thought in these verses here, which you just read, especially verse 17, beginning at verse 15, is a thought there, the thought of separation. Being separate from, walking apart, walking in
that
separation
was,
unto the Lord.
That was the burden of our reading the last time. And now, as we've had brought before us in the 17th verse, all that is passing. And that which is abiding is brought before our souls. He that doeth the will of God abideth. He doesn't pass. And that which he has wrought doesn't pass. It's abiding. He that doeth the will of God.
Would that link up with 2 Corinthians 6, 14, through to the end of that chapter? You might read those precious verses. 2 Corinthians 6, 14. We were speaking about it yesterday evening at the supper table. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty.
might we also read
in Philippians chapter 3, a couple of thoughts here were burdens on the apostle's heart. Philippians 3, verse 18. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping. Latter part of verse 19, who mind earthly things, who mind earthly things, for our conversation, or our commonwealth, our center of interests, is in heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our bodies of humiliation. Now in Hebrews chapter 11, and the end of verse 13. And confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, or rather their country, our heavenly country. And one more thought I think is too long in here. Yes, that's it. Now they desire a better country. Yes, a better country. That is, an heavenly.
That you read about in the third of Philippians, walking so carnally, those were not real, were they?
No,
the principle I do believe we need
was anything said as the latter part of the 15th verse, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I don't recall that anything was commented on that part of it. Well, I'd like to hear someone else comment on it.
Go ahead.
Well, looking at it in a practical sense, I don't believe that where there is the love of the world, there could be the consciousness of the love of the Father. There couldn't be the enjoyment of the love of the Father. Of course, we know the man of the world, he doesn't have the love of the Father in him. But it's possible for the child of God to be so taken up with the lust of the eyes, the attractiveness of this world, that he could not be enjoying the love of the Father.
The two things are not in agreement.
Yeah.
They're mutually contradictory. The love of the world and the love of the Father. It's viewed rather in an abstract way that these two principles are in conflict.
Do we not get three forms of conflict? Is not the world opposed to the Father and Christ to Satan? and the flesh to the spirit?
Definitely so, yes. I'm glad you mentioned that, Brother Wilson.
Is so taken up with the world and running after it in its various forms and things, is it not because of the flesh that is in the Christian?
Well, we also read, if we sow to the flesh, we shall of the flesh reap corruption. If the believer is going to gratify all his fleshly desires, he's going to reap the consequence of it.
But didn't the world come between Paul and Demas?
Yes, and between Demas and his Lord, too. What Demas did, I don't know. John Bunyan has him go into the silver mine and be overcome with the fumes. But it was something in the world that attracted Demas.
If he had known
he was going to get his name in the Word of God as having done that, I'm sure he never would have done it. But everything is going to come out at the judgment seat of Christ.
He stands as a beacon all through the ages, doesn't he?
Yes. And I think we'll see him in heaven.
Yes.
But he's... Cold of heart came in first.
Yes.
One of the three scriptures which we have in connection with Demas, it would indicate so.
Yes. What three verses do you refer to, brother?
Philemon.
I mean, just
two books. Where the Demas was associated with the Apostle Paul as a fellow laborer in the gospel. And then in Colossians, is it not, where his name is just mentioned, Colossus apparently had come in, estrangement. And then in the second epistle to Timothy, where we find him going down to Thessalonica. So coldness of heart, coldness toward the Lord came in first, and then the Apostle Paul, and then he goes on down to Thessalonica. Doesn't say he's the evil world. No doubt, perhaps a religious thought before him. Doesn't mean, I don't think the scripture mentioned would recall that the world is evil as we see it round about us, but there was an attraction there that took him away from the Lord first and then from the apostles.
When Paul writes to the Colossians, he has a reserve about demons. He just, as you say, he just mentions demons. And it isn't long until that second epistle of Timothy is written, just a few years. By that time, it has come out, he's loved the present world, and he's departed.
He was a fellow laborer with Paul in Philemon, wasn't he?
We said the other day, we do not reach a certain maturity in spiritual things in us all of a sudden. We do not come into spirituality suddenly. It has to be a desire to go on with God and to please Christ. And that has to grow. We grow in maturity. And the same thing is true if we start getting cold in our affections to Christ. The next thing is we've slipped into one little thing and then another, and finally there's a big failure.
I've often made this statement, Brother Wilson, and I believe it more and more. There's no such thing as a sudden major fall. We don't suddenly slip into some major fall in our lives. It's the consummation of a lack of self-judgment, a lack of watchfulness along the line. Do you go with that?
Oh, I certainly do. sometimes unconsciously to oneself. Ephraim hath gray hair, he knoweth it not. We're often unconscious of the declension that is coming. And speaking of not getting spiritual all at once, what provoked that remark was, I heard of a place recently where an old brother or elder brother or two had been taken away. And one of the younger brothers said, well, they're going, and now we're going to have to take over. And he just girded himself to take over. That's the wrong attitude. You say so?
Yes, I believe it is.
Let not him that putteth on the harness boast as he who putteth it off. That'd be the thought.
Yeah. It's a serious thing to try to step into the harness when we see certain ones being taken away and assuming that we can fill their shoes.
I personally heard a young brother say that very thing. And it wasn't long after he left the Lord's table. Just deserted the meeting, the Lord's table altogether.
I think it's a mistake on the part of any of us to think we're going to step in and into the shoes of anybody. Our work is outlined for us by the Lord as individuals, and he has no duplicates. I believe that many a soul has been hindered. I believe he's been a stumbling block to himself by thinking, now, here's where I take over the position that belonged to that brother. I believe that's a snare.
Yes,
you mean? Well, tell us about it, brother.
Well, it's simply that there was one instance there where God did provide for Elisha to have the mantle of Elijah placed upon Elisha. That was God's doing. But for us to